I just read through the book of James. I've read through it several times this past week. I read the entire book this morning again in preparation for this. But there's several things that I wrote down in the book of James. James, of course, we know was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Early on in his life, he didn't believe in Christ. He believed in Jesus Christ. It was his half-brother. But he didn't become a believer until really way after probably Christ had already died and rose from the dead. That's when James and Jude and his other half-brothers and sisters came to more of a salvation in Jesus Christ. But James became a very influential individual in the church there at Jerusalem. Matter of fact, James is probably the very first book that was written in the New Testament around AD 45, somewhere in that area. Now, James, when he starts right off, Paul was the type of person that he would just put out a great salutation. You know, grace and mercy and peace, and he'd talk about how good they were, and Paul was a little different writer than James. James, when he writes, let me read the first four verses, and then I'll pray and get into this. But James says this: James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, we understand that James was writing to the Jews that were scattered. But when I read that this week, I thought, we're scattered also. We've got our own people scattered all over the place. We've got people that either can't come to church, they don't feel comfortable in coming to church, they don't feel comfortable being around people, which I completely understand. But we've got that same situation. The Jews of James's day, they were scattered abroad, and he was trying to bring a message to them of those that were scattered. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can again gather together. It is a blessing to be in church. It is a blessing to stand here at this pulpit and to read the scriptures and to bring this message. Lord, I pray that this message would be a time of encouragement. It would be a time of challenge. It would be, Lord, if there's somebody out there listening that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior, we pray that today would be that day of salvation. We have heard a lot of good things that are taking place even during this time. There's been different people that have given out the plan of salvation on different networks, have led in the sinner's prayer on different networks, have even preached and given the gospel from the Rose Garden at the White House. Lord, there's a lot of good things that are going on in the midst of this. And Lord, we're looking that maybe this would bring about a tremendous revival, not just in the United States of America, but it would be great to see a great revival around the world before you come back. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to use this time for us to reach out to people. Lord, we hear of people that are watching us live, Lord, that would probably never either darken the doorstep of the church or would not be watching during a regular time. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We just pray that you would continue to work mightily upon each and every one of us. Again, we pray that your will would be done during this. And Lord, we know that you have everything under control. We have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to be concerned about except, Lord, just knowing that our lives, our health is in your hands. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, again for so much. Thank you for the Word of God. It just brings so much comfort to those of us that read it and study it. Lord, thank you also for the challenges that we get from it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you notice that James gets right into it. He doesn't beat around. He doesn't give a whole bunch of flowery introduction, salutation. He goes right in. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. He gets right to the heart of the matter. So when I was thinking about this whole thing about faith in our own lives, I would hope and pray that during this time our faith is being encouraged and built up and not reduced down. I would hope and pray that our faith, that this whole dilemma that we're going through, this time in which we're all going through it together, I would hope and pray that our faith is being built up, that our faith is being encouraged, that God can see through this whole thing and can see our own faith. I said this in Sunday school. God does not bring trials and tribulations for Him to see our faith. He brings trials and tribulations in our lives for ourselves to see our own faith. So we can see, where do we need to improve? Where do we need to increase? Where do we need to make some adjustments in our own life and our own faith? That's why God brings trials and tribulations to our lives. And I know some people are blaming God for this whole pandemic, and I don't do that. I'm not blaming God for this. I'm just saying God used this, that somehow, some way, good will come out of it. That's what I think that we need to be praying about. That good would come out of something like this that we're going through. And we are seeing a lot of good coming out of this. We don't have time to get into it all, but there's good things coming out of this whole thing. And so James gets right into it. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We know that term, that word temptations is a trial. It's a trying. It's whatever it is that they were going through. Now we understand that they were going through more of a persecution because of what they believed. We're not going through a lot of the persecution really for what we believe. We're just going through a testing time. We're going through a troubled time right now. Somebody said this, faith is believing what God says simply because it's God that says it. Let that soak in a little bit. Faith is believing what God says simply because it is God who says it. Whatever God says in His Word, we just believe that, don't we? We don't have to wonder, oh God, what are you doing here? What's going on, Lord? We don't have to do that. We don't have to sit around and try to figure out what God is doing here. We can sit around and understand that God's going to bring good out from this, and we just have to remain faithful. Somebody said this, ask yourself, does my faith move mountains, or do these mountains in my life move my faith? Sometimes it does that. We get these big mountains in our life, and it moves our faith. It harms, we allow it to harm our faith. And yet, our faith should be able to move mountains. George Mueller said this, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. And we see a lot of people going through anxiety at this time because of the unknown. That's what brings about anxiety, is the unknown. We don't know what tomorrow holds, or next week, or next month. And so people sit around and they worry about things that they don't know what the outcome is going to be. And yet what we need to do is gain some lessons from James and put these into practice. I have several that I wrote down, but let me give you the first one here, and it's found in verses 1 through 4. Number 1, faith enlarges our patience. Faith enlarges our patience. This certainly is a time in which our patience is being tested. I don't know about you, but it's testing my patience. Just because we can't go and do the normal things that we used to do. And so sometimes people are sitting at home for long periods of time. They can't go here. They can't go there. We would think nothing of jumping in a car and going off to a restaurant when we wanted to a few weeks ago. We can't do that anymore. You just can't go off to somebody mentioned earlier, can't go off to a buffet anymore. We just don't have any restaurants that are open to the point where you can go in and sit down and enjoy a nice meal. Now you can go and do takeout and all of that, but things have changed. Stores are now regulating how many people can go in at a certain time. They're watching that social distancing. They're making sure that you're 6 feet apart. Things are just completely different than they used to be. But faith can enlarge our patience. I have several verses. Let's just look at some of them. We'll let the Bible do as much talking as possible. How about Romans 15 and verse 4? Romans 15 and verse 4. We have several verses here in Romans that I want us to look at. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Faith can enlarge our patience. Romans 15, 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures brings hope. And so that's something that you and I desperately need. I know we joke about it often. Oh, what do you need? I need more patience. Well, we're being taught patience, I think, right now. Because tribulations, trials, and troubles that we're involved in can bring about that much needed asset in our life that so often we don't have a whole lot of. And so, but we gain that patience also through the Scriptures, because the Bible does give us hope. God gives us hope. The Holy Spirit gives us hope. And as we read and study the Word of God, some people, this is a time in which they're spending more time in the Word of God. They're spending more time in prayer because they have nothing else to do. I would highly recommend that you turn off your TV often, turn off your devices, and spend time in God's Word. And spend time praying, because that is what God is looking for. He doesn't care how long you spend in front of a television set or in front of a computer. What He cares about is, what are you doing with His Word? What are you doing with prayer time? That's something that we need to be concerned about. Just go over a few pages to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 17 and 18. Romans 8, 17 and verse 18. Romans 8, 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're all going through it together, folks. You and I are going through this together. And yet, what we need to focus on more than the coronavirus right now is, how about what's in our future with the Lord? How about what's in the future with heaven coming? I mean, listen, one of these days heaven's going to be here. One of these days we're going to be in heaven. One of these days the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be called out of here. And I believe that that can be very, very soon. I have said this, and I don't know. I've talked to other preachers. I was talking to a preacher this past week. And we don't know, but we do believe that the Lord's coming is soon. But James believed the same thing. James believed, and we're going to talk about that when we get through this a little bit more. James believed that Jesus was coming in his time. His own brother, he says, I know that He's coming. And John believed that, and Peter believed that, and Jude believed that. Paul the Apostle believed that Christ was coming back in their lifetime. Now we're 2,000 years closer to the coming of Christ, and we believe it's any day now, any moment, the Lord could come back. We understand that. We believe that. Look at verse 35 of Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are counted, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So we don't ever have to be concerned about having our life taken away and that God doesn't care, because He does care about us, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's something that we can hang on to this morning. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Some people think they know what the thorn of the flesh that Paul had. I don't know what it is. I do know this, that Satan was involved in it. We certainly know that according to verse 7. In verse 8, we know that Satan was involved in that thorn of the flesh. What that was, though, we're not sure. It could have been a physical infirmity. It could have been something, but we don't know. It says in verse 7 that because God didn't want Paul lifted up with pride, there was this thorn in the flesh given to him, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul knew exactly where his strength came from. Did not come from him. Did not come from his own internal himself. He was an amazing person. I mean, he was a Pharisee. He was a son of his father was a Pharisee. Paul knew the Old Testament, and yet he never gained that strength from all of that. He gained his strength from Jesus Christ Himself. And Christ told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, hey, I'd just soon stay weak then, if it's Christ that's going to be in me and building me up and helping me. So often we look for the things in this world that can help us and be with us. And yet so often we should never ignore the Word of God. We should never ignore Jesus Christ. We should never ignore God. This is the time in which we got to grab a hold of God even more. This is a time in which we need to grab a hold of this Bible and really use it in our life like never before. And not worry about things. Go back to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what most of us want right now? We want this whole thing to end. Don't we? Now, let's be honest. We want this to end. We want to get back to normal, whatever normal is. We want to go back to the way it used to be. We want to be able to gather together whenever we want. We want to be able to come into our churches and shake hands and greet one another. We want to be able to go to restaurants and stores and not worry about contracting this awful virus. We want to get back to somewhat normal again. And yet Paul was saying, when you read this, he said he'd rather glory in these tribulations. He would rather go through tribulations and troubles and trials because he says, this is what's going to work on my patience. This is what's going to build me up. This is what's going to give me strength. So often we want to look for the easy way out, don't we? Yeah. Hey, I do too. We're all like that. Look for the easy way out. Kind of get over this whole thing. Let's get back to normal again. Well, listen, this may be the normal for a while. We don't know. I guess selfishly, I don't want to see this thing last very long either. But let's read what the Bible says. But we glory in tribulations, and also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And so when we look at all of the stuff that we're going through right now, we are building up our experiences. We are learning things we never learned before. And not only that, but we can also gain and glean from this. We can gain and glean some hope through this time. And so, as our patience grows, so does our maturity. Let's go back to our text in James chapter 1. As our patience grows, as we become more patient during this diverse temptations and trials and tribulations in verse 3 of James 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. As we go through this time together, then in verse 4 it says of James 1, but let patience have her perfect work. That word perfect means mature. There are Christians that are maturing right now. There are Christians that are being built up right now. There are Christians that are going through this maturing process. And entire. The word entire means complete in every part. There are Christians that are learning and learning how to cope in life and learning how to get along in life. Boy, if this thing ever hits us again, we're going to have the experience that we need to get through this thing. And they say this could happen again next year. God forbid. I don't know. We could be right back into this again next year. I hope and pray not. I'm not a prophet, or as Amos says, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I hope and pray that I'm wrong. But at least we have the experience now that we never had before. And now we have some hope also that maybe we were lacking before. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Is God taking care of us through this thing? We had somebody come in today and brought a whole tub of eggs. Man, eggs. Several dozen of eggs. Boy, if anybody out there needs eggs, come on by. We got lots of eggs. We have another chicken man here that brings in eggs when we need it. And people are giving us things and helping us out. So we have, our needs are being taken care of. I don't know of anybody that doesn't have their needs being taken care of right now. had a blessing recently. Somebody has a little extra money and they wanted to know, is there anybody that could use it? And I'm seeing everybody raise their hand back there. But we know of somebody that could use a little help. And so, you know, it's a blessing when people come along and say, hey, look, I want to try to be a blessing to somebody. And that's what we should be doing during this time, is trying to be a blessing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. I don't know if you've noticed this in just a few verses that I have brought up here this morning with this particular point, is that every time you see patience, you see tribulations mixed in with that. I mean, it's a thing that is what is going to help us to give us this patience that we need. It's the tribulations or the testings or the trials that we're going through. It builds our patience. It helps our patience. It gives us the ability to be able to have that patience that we need. You're right there in 2 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 3 and verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. It says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Somebody asked me the other day, are you praying that the Lord's coming back? Well, yeah, I do sometimes. But we need patience waiting on the Lord. Patience. Look what Paul is writing to the Church of Thessalonica here in this passage of Scripture. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Those early Christians in the Church of Thessalonica thought that Jesus Christ had already come and they were in the tribulation period. That's why he had to write 2 Thessalonians. To make sure that they understood, hey, you're not in the tribulation period. You're going through tribulations. You're going through trials and tribulations. You're going through difficulties in life. But believe me, you've not seen anything yet. This is not the great tribulation that they were thinking that possibly they were going through, because Paul explains in 1 Thessalonians about the rapture. In the 2 Thessalonians, he explains about the second coming of Christ and about the Antichrist and about the tribulation period. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Look at verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Faith enlarges our patience. So what is your faith doing for you today? Is it doing anything for you? How is your faith? You need to give yourself a good examination and ask, hey, how is my faith today? God knows where it stands. God knows what it is. It's up to you to figure out the answer to that. And if it needs some building up, then build it up. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We are in a race. We are in a time of tribulation right now, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Use Christ as your focal point. He went through so much for you and I. He laid his life down for you and I. They did not kill him. He volunteered his life. He volunteered that crucifix. He literally laid his life on the cross. He went through so much for us. We need to look to Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. James chapter 5. James 5 and verse 7. James 5 and verse 7. James chapter 5, look at verses 7 and 8. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This was written back in 45 A.D. So James again was telling those early Christians, hey, Jesus is coming back. Just got to be patient waiting for him. Folks, today, 2020, Jesus is coming back. We just have to be patient waiting for him. Just have to be patient. He's coming. He will be here soon. When is soon? I don't know. We don't know when that is. But He is coming soon. Faith enlarges patience. Number two, back to James chapter 1. Here's the second thing that I noticed about faith. Not only faith enlarges patience, but faith enables prayer. Faith enables prayer. Look at verses 5 and 6. James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Listen, faith also enables prayer. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do through this time. I don't know how to get through this time. Well, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed and asked the Lord to help you? Have you prayed and asked God to see to it that your needs are met? I don't know if I can get online. I don't know. Every time I try to call and do this unemployment, I get kicked off. Well, just calm down, pray about it, and ask God to help you with it. He will get that through. He will help you through it. I don't know where, if I'm going to get another paycheck. I don't know where we're going to get food. Have you talked to God about it? See, faith enables our prayer. That's what these verses say. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What is prayer? Asking. John R. Rice used to say that all the time in his books and when he preached about prayer. Prayer is asking. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask. I mean, that's just one of the things that we ask God for. Do you need wisdom during this time? Oh yeah. Do I need wisdom during this time? Absolutely. Do I lack wisdom during this time? Yes, I do. I need God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. We all need God's wisdom during this time. What do? We ask Him for it. He says He'll give it to all men liberally. In other words, He's not going to just give you a little tiny bit. He's going to give it to you liberally. He's going to give you all the wisdom you need when you need it. Now, He's not going to give it to you way in advance at times, but He'll give you it when you need it. If He loaded you up with all that wisdom, your brain would explode. You need things certain. I mean, today you're going to need God's wisdom for certain things. Monday, tomorrow, you're going to need God's wisdom for certain things. Tuesday and right on through. 3 months from now, we're going to need God's wisdom in dealing maybe with some of the after effects of this. He will give you the wisdom when you need it. All you got to do is ask for it. As I said, do you know that He's living in the future?
That's right.
He's living we know in eternity there are no years, there is no time in eternity, but for our little feeble brains to try to kind of fathom this, I sometimes think God is already living a million years in the future now.
That's right.
Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that I'm living out there too with Him.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? You know, in other words, we're going to get through this thing. We're going to get through this thing and we're going to come through it fine. It's just when we're going through it, we sometimes don't know what to do. Lack of faith is lack of prayer. Lack of faith is lack of prayer. As our faith builds, so does our prayer life, right? Faith and prayer go together. So as your faith is strong, your prayer life will be stronger. As your faith weakens, so will your prayer life weaken. Many times when our faith is weak, our Bible reading is hindered. Our prayer time is hindered when we lack faith. E.M. Bounds said this, asking of God and receiving from the Lord, direct application to God, immediate connection with God, that is prayer. Immediate. You listen, when we talk to God, when we ask God, when we receive from the Lord, we have that direct communication, that direct connection with the God of the universe. What a blessing it is. I don't know what to do in this situation. Ask God that already knows the outcome of this whole thing. He will help you. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. 1 John chapter 5, look at verses 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It says this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Do you believe that? Yes or no?
Amen.
Amen, we believe that. We believe what the Bible says. We say we believe what the Bible says. But sometimes in the same sentence we say, well, I don't know if God's really listening. I don't know if God can really take care of us during this crisis. I don't know if God can really help during this time. Well, of course He can. E.M. Bounds went on to say this, and I wrote this down. What is God's will about prayer? First of all, it is God's will that we pray. Right?
Amen.
He said in Luke 18:1, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be praying. Paul writes to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, and he says this, and he writes to Timothy about the first things which God's people are to do. And the first among the first, he puts in prayer. He says this, I exhort therefore, this is 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore and first of all. Sometimes we miss that little phrase, first of all. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So what is E.M. Bounds saying? He's saying, listen, this is our main duty as a Christian is to pray. It's our main duty. Our main thing that we should be doing is praying. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We need to be praying for one another. He said, well, who do I need to be praying for? Everybody you can think of. Pray for the president. Pray for the vice president. Pray for the virus, the people that are involved in it. Pray for our governor. Pray for all the people that are over us. Pray for our local officials. Pray for church members. Pray for me. I pray for you. We pray for one another. We need to be praying. Praying, 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 praying. That's what we need to be doing. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans 12, 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient, tribulation, there's that word patient again. And then it says continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, you know the verses, 6 through 8. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Of course we believe that. It's what the Bible says. But do we really believe that? See, we need to believe what the Bible says. And so when you're praying and you're putting everything in God's hands, and you're praying and you're thanking Him for everything that you can thank Him for, you make your request known to God, He says, you'll have a peace that will pass. You can't even understand the peace that you have.
That's right.
I have made this statement, and I'm trying to be as honest as I can with you. I have total peace during this time.
Amen.
Total peace.
Amen.
Not worried about anything.
Amen.
Peace. I have peace. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, right.
We just need to put it all in God's hands. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to make sure that our thought pattern is right. We're thinking about the good things of God. Every one of those things, that's something that the Lord Jesus Christ, those are His attributes. We need to be thinking about Him. John 15, verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But you got to make sure the Word of God is within you and God's will is on your mind. He says, it shall be done unto you. We'll take care of it. The Lord says, we'll take care of it. One more verse and we'll be done this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 7, not a verse, but a passage. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 7, Matthew 7, 7. Faith enables prayer. Faith enlarges our patience. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you, or given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I like that. You ask him for help, is he going to ignore you and just turn you off and say, I don't care about you anymore? Of course not. He's going to make sure that he takes care of us. So how's your faith? How's your faith working for you today? I hope and pray that your faith is being built up. I hope and pray that your faith is being encouraged. Please, 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 please don't let this time that we're in, the tribulations that we're in, the troubles that we're going through, don't let these things destroy your faith. They should be building up your faith. Amen. You should be putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be putting your faith and trust in God. Most everybody here that I know of is saved. That's here in this room is saved. They trust Jesus. They have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But there might be some people out there that are not saved. Let me encourage you right now. Let me challenge you right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to ask Him to save you. Salvation is as easy as A, B, C. Acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. We all know that we're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So acknowledge that fact. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Just tell, God already knows you are. Just tell Him, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. The B is believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe upon Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for you on the cross, that He shed His blood for you, that He rose again after 3 days and three nights. Don't put salvation off much longer. None of us know how much longer we have on this planet. We don't know. We don't know. We're planning maybe a long life. Maybe we're hoping for a longer life, but we don't know. None of us know. And so believe that Jesus died for you, because the Bible is 100% accurate and it's 100% true. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then the C is simply call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's not going to automatically save you without you asking Him, without you calling upon Him. You must call upon Jesus Christ to be saved. So you need to do that. If you haven't done that, please make sure that you do that now. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You and we come to You, Lord, again one more time. And we ask that You would be working and moving upon the hearts and souls of everybody that's here. And also, Lord,